Access has been helping residents of Jackson County work toward economic stability since the 1970s. They help low-income families and seniors to get through economic crises and guide them to change in their habits. And one of the things that they focus on is education so that some of those habits might become permanent. Joining us this morning from Access to talk about the Seed to Supper program is Rachel Ward, the nutrition director. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, you bet. This program, give us an overview of what the Seed to Supper program is all about.
Sure. So Seed to Supper is a part of Oregon Food Bank's work to build a more food secure community. And it is a free gardening class that focuses on beginner gardening techniques. It's a 6-week long course.
And I've read a couple of terms over the years, food insecurity and food desert. I guess my first question is, are those the same thing or are they slightly different?
They're slightly different. So food insecurity describes the problem. So when someone is said to be food insecure, they may not know when or where their next meal is coming from. It's kind of the short and easy definition. Versus a food desert really has to do with the availability of food in a community and the proximity to a grocery store.
So if you're food secure, you may have an unlimited supply of ramen noodles, but you would be in a food desert if that's all you ate. Is that a way to put that?
Right, or maybe you have a grocery store in your community, but you can't afford the food there, so you would be food insecure, but not in a food desert.
So let's say that I were living in an apartment and I didn't have any real gardening space located where I live. Is this program still valuable to work toward, say, a community garden, or is it something that could be adapted where people could have a little windowsill garden?
Absolutely. There are portions of the class that talk about work in community garden, and usually it's paired with some hands-on work in an actual community garden, and is often an incentive at the end of the class is members will get their own plot in the community garden. And then there's also focus on container gardening, so things that you can do on balconies or porches or inside.
Joining us is Rachel Ward, the nutrition director at Access. If you have a question for Rachel about some gardening, how you could approach that and make it a part of your life, you can give us a call here at the Jefferson Exchange. We are at 800-838-3760. And during the live broadcast, send an email to us, jx@jeffnet.org. The class that will be taking place will be on Monday nights from 6 to 8, from November 4th through the 9th at the Medford Library. Is that correct?
November 4th through December 9th, yeah.
Yeah. And so what can people expect over this session of classes? What will they learn?
So it's a very participatory-based class. There's trained instructors that have gone through training to talk about garden education. And it kind of walks you through everything from where to find low-cost or free seeds to how to plant seeds and start seeds yourself versus buying transplants, all the way up until harvest time. So it walks you through the stages of growing a garden.
Is this something for folks who are just low income or have a particular challenge, a senior, or is this something that anyone could participate in?
Technically, it is targeted towards folks that are lower income, but there's no, we don't check folks' income or ask them to report it when they come into the class, so it could be for anyone.
Are there some unique challenges to trying to teach people how to garden, even on a limited basis, in our area?
Yeah, well, the challenge right now is it's the winter, right?
Right.
People aren't necessarily thinking about growing food, but this is a great class to take now so that you can start preparing for your spring and summer gardens.
Are there community gardens? Did you mention that? Is there a place where a person could have a small plot of land?
Yes, there are several community gardens all across Jackson County.
And if a person wanted to participate in that, how do they go about securing that little piece of earth for themselves?
So usually they would approach the community garden manager directly, and most have an annual membership fee, ranges between $20 and $60, I would say. And they pay to have a plot at that garden, and then they can grow whatever they would like in it.
How often during the year do you offer this program?
We offer it several times a year. Our highest amount of time is usually in the spring as people are thinking about starting gardens. So around May, we offered about 10 courses this past year. But this is the first time that we're doing a winter class because there was just an acknowledgement that a lot of folks like to start their planning early.
I don't want to have you step outside of what your particular expertise is, but this time of year, of course, people think about donating food to Access or other organizations. We think a lot about food insecurity and making sure people have meals to eat for the holidays. But there's this ongoing problem when you get out of the holidays for a large chunk of the year where you still have issues of food insecurity. How do you deal with that?
Right. So Access acts as the regional food bank for Jackson County, which means that we help to oversee 24 different food pantries that are open year-round and available to folks that are in need of food at no cost.
So if somebody wanted to participate in one of these programs, if they had some expertise in gardening or something like that, how would they volunteer their time?
So they would contact our garden coordinator, Emily Mann, and her email is freshaccess@accesshelps.org.
As you go through the year, you mentioned programs to help people find low-cost or free seed packets to start their gardening and other resources. Are there a number of community partners that help you participate in this?
Absolutely. So we partner very closely with OSU Extension. A lot of our educators are master gardeners that have gone through that program. And then our garden coordinator is actually working with the Medford Library right now to start what's called a seed library. So that would be free seeds that would be available for folks if they have a library card throughout the year.
You check them out. You don't have to return the seeds, though, I guess, right?
No, there's some education around, you know, how to harvest and save seeds so that if you did want to grow something and save the seeds off of it, you could donate back to those seeds.
There's no fine if you don't return them in 3 weeks.
No. As long as you're eating the harvest.
Right. Do you get some unique requests from people in terms of what they want to grow or how they want to approach things? How do you deal with some of that?
Yeah, so we have to do a lot of education around seasonality and what grows well here and when. A lot of folks, because we've become so distant from the way that our food is grown, a lot of things are available in the grocery store year-round that don't necessarily grow here year-round. So things like tomatoes, eating tomatoes in the winter is very out of season for our area. So we have to do some education around why you can't just throw a tomato plant in the ground in December and expect to have tomatoes all year round.
Do you put a focus on people trying to do organic gardening?
Yes. We have a strong focus on not using any pesticides or additives that are harmful to the environment.
And do you have a program or have it set up in such a way that people who have successfully gone through the Seed to Supper program can come back and talk to some of the new students about their successes?
Yeah, so anyone can become a garden educator. So someone who's gone through the program and is really excited about it and wants to become a teacher the next year is welcome to come to that. We do have a training class that usually happens in January or February that's open to the public for anyone to come and become an instructor.
This is kind of a question I have about really the small-scale gardening, what I call the windowsill, or you mentioned growing on the porch or the balcony or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is it possible, if somebody were in a situation where this is talking more about the food desert concept as opposed to insecurity, could they grow enough healthy herbs and things like that to dramatically improve the quality of their diet just in a very small space like that?
Yeah, absolutely. If there's one thing that organic and small-scale agriculture has taught us, it's that we can grow a lot of food in a small area as long as you plan and plant it correctly. So there's huge potential even within an apartment of things that you can grow on a windowsill or inside, and really any fresh vegetables or fruits or herbs that you can add to your diet, especially when you grow them yourself, is going to add a lot of nutrients.
We're speaking this morning with Rachel Ward, the Nutrition Director at Access Incorporated, and she's speaking to us primarily about the Seed to Supper Education Program that is a part of Oregon's Food Bank to help build more secure, food-secure communities. And the next session that will be coming up begins here real soon, November 4th through the 9th, meeting on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m., and that'll be in the large meeting room at the Medford Library. If you have a question about participating in the program or some thoughts about agriculture, maybe some success you've had with some small-scale gardening as well, you could give us a call this morning at our number, our 800 number, 800-838-3760. Or, of course, we take emails during the live broadcast, and you can send that to jx@jeffnet.org. Do you have any other programs besides the Seed to Supper that's available for people who might be interested?
Absolutely. So Access's nutrition department runs several programs in addition to the food pantries that I mentioned. And we also have a cooking skills program. So these are free cooking classes for folks to learn how to cook healthy on a budget. They range from demonstrations that we do out at farmers markets and food pantries to full 6-week-long courses. And as I mentioned, they're focused on basic cooking techniques, knife skills, how to freeze and preserve, making soups, things like that.
And as they go through these cooking classes, do they learn? Do you find that a lot of people, I mean, in our day and age, it's not just people that may be economically challenged. It seems like people are so busy and they live off of fast food and they don't think about nutrition. Do you find that this generation, multi-generational, we're in a time where people just simply don't have these skills like previous generations may have had?
Right, or they're afraid or don't have the time to learn the skills. And so I think that's where cooking classes come in handy, because we really focus on showing easy cooking techniques that you can prepare a healthy meal very quickly. A lot of the classes focus also on meal planning, and so if you can spend part of a day on the weekend just planning and prepping for the week, I can make cooking healthy throughout the week while working or dealing with childcare and school and after school activities. It can make it a lot easier to do that prep work ahead of time.
We have on the line Danae from Talent talking a little bit about sprouts. Go ahead.
Hi, Milton. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to recommend, I've been growing sprouts for years and years and years, and it's such a simple way to have an inner garden inside your house. And you can eat them raw, you can cook them, you can grow them year-round. Right now I've got organic French lentil sprouts growing. Just soak them for about 8 hours, rinse them every day, and in a couple of days, you have a live food right in your kitchen. Fabulous.
You know, Danae, I was just thinking, I grew up in a time where all of a sudden people were eating sprouts, and I think there was one type of sprout, and Mother put it on the sandwich. And you felt like you were being tortured eating it. I never really thought about the fact that there's probably a lot of different sprouts out there, and some of them are a little tastier than others.
Right.
Oh, they're delicious. Lentil sprouts have a peppery taste. You can sprout sunflower seeds, that is. You can sprout any kind of bean. In fact, when you sprout a seed or a bean, it increases in its nutritional value exponentially. It's just a much healthier, easier way to digest and also to have some live food. So, you know, I've been doing that for years, and I plan to have it in my emergency kit so that I can have those things when we need them, when we can't get fresh food.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Danae. That brings up a question. As you're teaching people in the Seed to Supper program or at other times in the cooking classes, how do you help people determine, Rachel, what is there a way that people can really, other than, say, organic gardening or something like that, that people can determine what is good? In other words, how do I know that you talked about tomatoes earlier, that this is a good tomato or that's not a good tomato? Do you address those kind of things?
There's a little bit of education that is associated with that in terms of being a healthy consumer. What I always suggest to folks is knowing who grew your food is the easiest way to ensure that you're getting healthy, fresh, good quality food. And so shopping at the farmers markets or having a CSA with a farmer directly or growing your own food is really the best way to ensure that you're getting the best products.
And it seems like just in general in our society and here in the Rogue Valley as well, that there is an increase in the number of good options that are available, as you mentioned, farmers markets and things like that. Have you seen an increase in that?
In the availability of farmers markets?
Yes, availability of good, nutritious food.
Yeah, so I think our society has kind of shifted back to some of those principles, and consumers are asking the right questions when you go to the grocery store or wherever you shop for food. Just asking them, where were these tomatoes grown or how were they grown? Do you have any products that were grown by local farmers? As consumers, we really vote with our food dollars. And that helps to determine the money that goes towards small-scale farmers and the continued support for good, healthy food in our food system.
I'm not asking you to say anything negative about large grocery stores or anything like that, but are we seeing a true increase in healthier quality fruits and vegetables in some of the big chain stores, that maybe as a response to some of the efforts by local growers?
Yeah, I have seen, an increase in marketing around foods being local or organic in the grocery store. And I think there are some grocers that are making that effort to partner with local farmers. The problem really becomes the dollar ratio in terms of what a grocery store can pay for food versus what a small-scale farmer needs to be able to make a living.
For folks who are interested in participating in the Seed to Supper 6-week training program, how do they go about the process of registering for that? Do they need to bring anything, a good attitude about gardening? What do they need to bring to the seminars?
Well, a good attitude is always helpful, and we do ask that people RSVP in advance to Emily Mann, our garden coordinator, so that she can plan and have enough materials for everyone in the class. And again, her email is freshaccess@accesshelps.org, and I can also give her phone number, which is 541-841-6487, and anyone can call or email her and say that they are interested in the class, and she will get them signed up.
Is there a limit on how many people you can take in each session?
There is a limit just based on the capacity of the room, but I do know that we have quite a few slots still open. So,
how do people cut corners when it comes to food? I'm asking this question because obviously tonight there may be a lot of candy that is moving into people's homes. And although it's, I'll confess here, I could probably live on Kit Kat bars the rest of my life and be happy. I'll be robbing my granddaughter's bag, I think, tonight. How do you just fight this whole thing? I know education is the broad overview, but there's just so many ways that tasty, poor nutrition foods can enter our lives.
Right. And it is challenging. And I'm not, one to say give up Halloween candy completely. I think that everything in moderation is kind of the diet principles that I like to go by, with a heavy focus on fresh fruits and veggies, knowing that they are the most one of the most nutrient-dense foods that we can have. And there's a lot of research that shows that just increasing the amount of fruits and vegetables you're eating on a daily basis can lead to long-term health benefits.
We're speaking this morning with Rachel Ward, the nutrition director at Access, about their upcoming program, their Seed to Supper program that will be six classes taught over a period from November 4th into early December. And you can learn about gardening, even if you live in an apartment building or something like that. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call this morning at 800-838-3760. Or during the live broadcast in the morning, you can send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. As people have unique nutrition needs, do you have the capability of addressing all of that? I mean, it seems like in most diets, the one thing they have in common is eat more fruits and vegetables. And of course, people are trying their best to avoid that when they're dieting. But is there, you know, some folks are intolerant of certain things in their diet. Do you help people work around that as part of an education program?
Absolutely. So our cooking classes are all very adaptable to different diets. And we talk about oftentimes in those classes the different types of diets and the benefits and drawbacks of each of them. And then I think even within our food pantries, most of our food pantries are shopping style pantries, meaning that clients can actually go in and walk through and shop the shelves themselves and select the foods that they want, rather than having a box put together with foods that they may not eat or may have allergies to. So we've made that shift because we acknowledge that everybody has unique food needs.
And children are a special problem, aren't they? How do we get more nutritious foods into kids?
Right. I think it starts with the parents, honestly. It starts with modeling that good behavior for your kids. I've seen a lot of kids in the schools that try fruits and veggies, and they immediately, you know, look around to their peers for their reactions, and they'll base their reaction based on what everybody else around them is doing. So if you as a parent are saying, oh, broccoli, I don't like broccoli, that's gross, your child is going to mimic you. So, you know, just kind of encouraging and letting them try a wide variety of fruits and vegetables prepared in a wide variety of ways.
I can do broccoli, but I confess I can't do cauliflower. I'm just being honest here.
Everyone has their thing.
Yes, that's right. We've been speaking this morning with Rachel Ward from Access. This is about their upcoming Seed to Supper program at the Medford Library to learn how to do some gardening. Rachel, thank you very much for joining us this morning to tell us about this upcoming program.
Thank you for having me.